I have self-esteem engineer Bev Mulun in the studio. And if you have just tuned in, Bev looks at your birth dates and she does numeric profiling. And it is such an insightful, interesting 35, 40 minutes that we have Bev in the studio. So you can SMS your birthday to 34519. Better still, call in 0861 24 24 36. Bev, straight to Janine, born on the 4th of the 9th, 1957.
Okay, Janine. Well, Janine has her own story. There's no question. Janine wants to be her very own unique self, and she doesn't like to be dictated to, and she's not that good at taking information from authority. And so I imagine growing up in the 60s, which is when she would have started like toddling, I imagine growing up in the 60s and 70s with that kind of free-spirited, I just want to be myself, I have my own sense of justice and integrity type story about her, that the 70s was quite a fit, shall we say. It was quite a fit. I imagine that the insecurity of social behavior and the insecurity of society and the need for people to dress similar and look similar and be similar is quite a struggle for her. That would be an interesting conversation to have. Feel free to SMS back, Janine. But this is something that is not an easy flow for her, because she's not wanting to play the game in the way everyone else does. And she has her own creative ideas and a very bright analytical mind, and she's insightful. But socially, she can get disappointed by people because she has a very exact sense of justice and integrity and wholeness, how things should be. Remember, integrity doesn't mean I only tell the truth. Integrity means that something is whole, it's solid. There's no chips or cracks or fractures. If the screen of my iPhone remains in integrity, it will not crack. No matter how many times I drop it, I'm just putting it out there, Lord. You know, we live in hope. Certainly the integrity of the little menu button is not in total integrity, because it just only works when it suits itself. So that's what integrity is about.
Having problems there?
I am. I'm just putting out there. Anyone who wants to save my iPhone, please, you know, send it. I did just get the new operating system. You know, we don't get the phone yet, the i5, but, you know, you can get the operating system if you have iPhone.
That's nice.
I got it this morning. Very excited. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Bev.
It is. It's about flexibility and learning new things. And now they've changed a whole lot of things around and added some things, and they moved my menu around, and I've had to learn flexibility. Okay, let it flow. What have you done? Where can I file this so I get my structure back? Okay. So Janine is very much like that as well. Janine doesn't like her stuff moved around. Don't be pressing her buttons. Don't be moving stuff around, and don't be hurting her, because she will just delete you, you know. I often, like when I'm busy, look at the phone ringing and see the defer button or reject button or whatever, and I think, why don't we always have this? It is so useful, because sometimes you know the conversation with the person that's about to happen, if you do answer, is going to be about 12 to 15 minutes, and you don't have the time, but you want to speak to them. But you know, well, I just want to put it out there that iPhone, because sometimes you're busy, but you want to like message them, but you have to reject the call, go into messages, start. They have developed this little app now on the call. And when I saw it this morning, when somebody's calling you, if you press the little flip button, it says send message, remind me later to call this person. Love Apple.
You love
that. You know, people can jump up and down about anyone else who's, you know, Sam, Markle, whatever they're singing out there, you know, like, go ahead, do it. I respect that. Everyone's got fantastic units and Android. It all works, and everyone finds their happy place.
This is your happy place, Bev?
Yes, but it took me long to get there. It took my son taking the phone and playing with it and showing me how it worked, you know, to make friends with it.
Okay.
And that's very much about Janine, that I think people probably don't understand about her. She's very intuitive, and she likes to explore the world experientially, but she has her own structure and determination about how that's done. And that level of inflexibility is almost incongruent for people. She's, I want to be how I like, when I like, don't tell me what to do. And there seems to be a flexibility about that, but it's not flexible. It's very inflexible. This is how I want to be. And then when it comes to handing things or interactions or whatever, there's like, no, it has to be this way, and I'm not budging. This is what is right. This is what is just. So if anything, I'm going to offer you, Janine, perhaps gentleness with the people you're close to, perhaps less expectation, or looking at the reasons why you are expectant. What do you feel you won't survive if things aren't the way you want them to be? How can you use that amazing brain of yours, and how can you use that incredible talent that I know you have, and get into your own story and be in it with flexibility and gentleness, so that other people don't have to fall because of it? Just some questions to ponder. Use them, don't use them.
There we have it, Janine. There we have it. Let's move on. I don't know if this is a male or female. It just says, hi, my birth date is the 22nd of October, 1963. Thanks.
Pleasure.
So whoever sent that through, the 22nd of October, 1963. No idea if this is a man or if this is a woman.
Deeply sensitive, deeply philosophical, highly expectant. It's our theme. There we go.
Yeah.
Not wanting to take directions from others, insensitive and lacking in compassion when hurt or disappointed, but essentially very generous, very nurturing, very caring. Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
So not the easiest place for this dear person to be who's young. This is only a, what, almost 49-year young person. So here's the thing. This is clearly the theme. And this is a year in which energetically you are called upon to be flexible. So let's say you're running in a certain direction and you notice that there's a massive fire going on there. Are you going to just run straight through it? I mean, don't we say this to children all the time? Didn't our parents say it to us? It's like some bizarre legacy everyone has to say to their children at some point. If your friends run into a fire, will you run straight after them? Mm. Right? It's like, if your friends are all jumping off a bridge, will you jump
with
them?
Will you also jump?
Right, exactly. You know, so this is the question. So if you're running towards something, you're running at a path, you're running at a building, you're running at something, you want to go there, but you notice it's on fire. Okay, so now we have to ask the question, are you going to run into it anyway? Well, if you're a fire person, you know, a fire man or woman, are there any fire women?
An extinguisher of fires.
Yes,
a
fire person, shall we call them. Yeah, if you're a fire helper person, fire officer, if you are one of those amazing people who do such incredible work, it's just amazing. I don't know how they do it. I had a fire at my home, I think 2 years ago already. I left a candle in the room.
No.
Never do that unattended.
You left a candle in a room?
Seriously, I'm so grateful that the only lesson I had was to just redo the whole room, because it could have just been an outright complete disaster. What humility stupidity combined together can do. But my maid was leaving and she said, what's all the black smoke coming out of your room? What are you doing in there? I'm like, are you kidding? Flew from the lounge and ran straight into a pitch black from my chest upwards room with flames all over the place. And between a bucket of water and running backwards and forwards, and my father and I, we extinguished it. So bravo, right? Thank goodness. But the fire people came. Their big red truck, it was very exciting. And thank goodness they did not have to drown the house, because that just ruins everything.
Mm.
But they got into that every day. My skin was burnt. My hair was burnt. My eyes were burnt.
Mm.
The clothing, the taste in my mouth, my lungs were sore. I had so much compassion, respect, appreciation, and value for the work they do. And they do this whenever they are called upon to do it, with a full heart, with a full spirit. And I just thought, that is amazing.
Mm.
That is amazing, because honestly, I did it because it was my home, and there's no way I'm just going to stand by and watch it if I can do anything in the interim before they get there. But there were so many physical repercussions. These people are really genuinely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Right.
Right.
After that message from our sponsors. If you're running at a building that is on fire, if you're running at it, surely at some point you're going to ask yourself the question, am I padded? Am I geared? Do I have a fire hose? Should I be doing this? No, right? So this is what I'm saying to this person. This person can tend to run at fire and then be completely shocked and disappointed that they've been trying to nurture and trying to care and trying to take care of and trying to, but the people don't really accept it, or the people don't acknowledge it, or there's some kind of disappointment, and this deep-seated, beautifully sensitive person gets hurt, and then all that generosity of spirit and nurturing and caring disappears and gets replaced by a lack of compassion and a distancing that can be very hurtful for the people involved. So there's an interesting paradox there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the easiest way for this person to liberate themselves is to figure out what it is they want to be, what they want to do. And if you're doing it, fantastic. And if not, find a way to do it. That's the best I can say, because until you live that very special vision you have for yourself, which I get a very strong sense of, but I'm not putting it out there, a very strong sense, until you live that vision, you will feel unfulfilled and challenged. And then the small things will hurt you and disappoint you, and you will have more of an emotional reaction to them than is appropriate. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think we should break there and let's try fit in one more, Bev. Can we do one more? Can
okay.
we do,
we can do two more,
male born on the 12th of December 1937?
Okay.
Male born 12th December 1937. Bev is going to look at your numbers just after these.
101.9 Chai FM. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Great. Thanks so much for staying with us. You're with Nikki Seberini in Your Element. And in the studio, I have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun. Thank you for all those SMSs that have been coming in. We're looking at a male who was born on the 12th of December, 1937.
Great paradox here. Right off the bat. Wonderful nurturer, caring, loves things to be pretty. Wants to have security, wants to be able to help others, wants to be able to share that, likes to take direction, lead the way, can get people involved so that they will follow and they will, right? Generous of spirit, affectionate. So what's the paradox? I mean, with this wonderful, generous-spirited human being, is this inflexibility. It has to be my way.
Mm.
Why is it like that? Mm. Well, I'm like that. You know, I've had to work so hard at that. Being nice and gentle was not my forte. I'm a leader of millions, you know, in my head. When I was 12, I remember thinking, what do you mean you don't want to make me head girl? Like, are you mad? The school needs me. And I wasn't. So, you know, there was a great chest smack, like, oh, I can't breathe. Like the wind gets knocked out of your sails. Mm. I can't believe this. So this would be a similar experience this person has. Like, what do you mean you don't want to do it my way? What do you mean you have your own opinion? Hey, what do you mean? I know I'm right. I know how to do these things. And I'm trying to help you.
Mm.
That's the favorite, famous, frustrated line. I'm trying to help you.
Mm.
So we go back to that other thing that we've said, like so many times, that thing. Because your work, gentlemen, is to be sensitive to the needs of others and help them in a way that will benefit them. So now,
not that you think will benefit them.
Yes, indeed. And that's so a hard one.
I used to rush in and save.
I have a similar profile in certain ways, but I used to rush in and save and heal and bathe and push my life aside to help others all the time until I realized how special I was. I mean, it took a while. You know, we don't always get it up front. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come in a pull. So you have to do the work to do the realization. And for me, the majority of work's come in the last 12 to 15 years. So it's not like I was feeling so happy in my childhood. It's not like I felt a fulfilled decade of my 20s. I didn't. So there we go. It's out there now. So I know I'm different to everybody and everyone else is completely fulfilled and living a wonderful life. But no, that was my story. And I think that what happens for people who so much want to help is that they don't take a breath to check that the help they're giving people is not impeding their progress. Sometimes it's like the butterfly story. Mm. Sometimes the butterfly has to struggle. The baby has to learn to walk itself. The hips don't heal right, fix right. The muscles don't develop right. They have to. You cannot. You can coach a Castor Semenya, but you cannot run with her on the track.
Mm.
Somebody has to give her a strategy. Somebody, but she has to implement it. She has to do the work. Has anyone figured out that strategy, by the way?
That's a tough one.
Has anyone figured out that strategy, that Olympic race? I'll run from the back and see what happens. Has anyone figured that out? I'm still trying to figure out that strategy.
I was shattered.
I was standing and going, oh, no, please, no. What is going on? No, run now. This is too late. And it was. And it was like, oh, seriously, you are the champion. Mm. She could have won that race.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out that strategy yet. I'm not sure what her coach, Maria Matola, said afterwards. I mean, just say that was it. Come second. Well done. Run from the back. I'm not
sure.
She
said she ran her heart out.
Yeah. I heard conflicting opinions from her. She said that, and then she also said she could have run a better strategy and et cetera. But what I'm using that as an analogy for is to say that it doesn't matter if you have the best training, the best eye, the best vision of how things should be. It doesn't matter. We have to make sure of several things. One is that you're the right person to implement it. That you are doing the right thing for the people for whom you are implementing it. And that at the end of the day, if you smother them, you can take responsibility for that. And if you help them, you can stand with grace with that. But it, when we have people who so generously want to change the planet and do things and help and nurture and take care of, we have to be mindful of the fact that we're not always right.
Mm.
We're not always right about whom we help, how we help those people, and what help we offer them. And it is important for people who are natural helpers and givers to make certain you're not drowning someone so that they can't find their own way through it. Sometimes just being there and being supportive is what is required. And it's hard for someone who's such a natural giver. I understand that. Mm-hmm. It's hard. So the easiest way I can encourage people to work with that is to focus on you. Just make sure you are intact. You are fulfilled. You are not living a life of inadequacy, of unfulfillment, but living a life of feeling adequate, feeling significant, doing what makes you more significant in your own world every day. So that when you give, you have the comfort and grace and wherewithal of self to have a look at what you're offering and make certain it serves you, it serves the recipients, and that the methodology is the best.
Mm, okay. So that was for the male born on the 12th of December, 1937. I think just to close off, Bev, Michelle sent through an SMS and she has a question for you. And the question she asks is this: would all females born on the same day have the same profile?
Absolutely. Next question. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. So it's like this. We'll do it as quickly as possible. Let's say we are in the inside of one of those, of a soccer ball, doesn't matter, any ball, any sphere. And from the center of the sphere to the perimeter, there is a pen. And the pen is centered at the center, but it keeps moving and spinning in and around, touching the circumference of the circle all the time. And so at any given point, that pen is at, you know, I don't know, thousands of different angles. The dates will be the same, but the energy of what aspect of those dates that person will take out as challenges and that person will take out as opportunities and as strengths and as limitations will be different for people born 2 minutes apart. Because if we picture that pen moving fast, mm-hmm. when the one child is born, boom, there it is.
The pen's in one position.
One position.
And then it's in another position.
At 11 o'clock and 53 seconds.
And the positions bring about
completely different things. I have profiled twins. I've profiled triplets. I have never done more than that because I don't have anyone who's ever come to me with quads or quintuplets mm-hmm. or anything, but haven't done the Rosenkiewiczes. That could be interesting
mm-hmm.
and challenging. But I have found, I even did one live in studio ages ago with Kathy. There was a twin who worked here and her sister was in London, and we profiled both of them, very different girls, but it was so obvious to me. And the twin who was in London, we got her spot on, and the girl who worked here, we got her spot on. Very different aspects of the same energy. So there's somebody asked me recently if I'll teach them how to do numerology. I can't teach you how to do numerology. Even if I wanted to, I'd love to. Go do a course. Go do, read books. Do something like that. And if you find you have a portal through this, and if you find you get more than the average, well, that's fantastic. Use it to help other people. But I don't do numerology. I write down, there it is. I write down the birth date. I turn that into numbers. Mm. And whatever's coming to me is coming to me. So it's a little John Edwards-y. Do I profess to understand it? No. When I look at a birth date like that and nothing comes, I will be honest and I'll say, I'm done. The work through this portal is no longer relevant.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I will find another channel. I have no ego attached to it. I do not feel like I need to grandstand it. It is what it is. I like to offer it. I know that's my responsibility or it wouldn't be coming. And I use it to try and benefit relationships, to benefit people, not to look for all the inadequacy. That's easy. I'm wall to wall inadequacy. It depends on your angle. Smoke and mirrors, baby. We all live in the smoke and mirrors.
Speak for yourself.
Except for you, because you're an oracle and you're perfect.
I've got that glass ball, Bev. Don't ever forget it.
I know. I'm going to find you one. I'm going to bring in this. It's going to scare you.
Bev, thank you for that. Michelle, there is the explanation, because when I watch Bev, you know, and she starts looking at people's numbers, it's as if, you know, words come out of her mouth and stories and explanations that that are quite incredible. And we always get amazing feedback. So, you know, it's the numbers, but then it's a whole lot more. So, Bev, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us this morning. Wishing you a meaningful fast. Is one a difficult or an easy fast? Well, because a difficult one would mean that you're overcoming a lot more. An easy one would mean, have I misunderstood?
Mushy will come in here with the most unbelievable insights about that. So on my one toe, never mind one foot, what I can offer is that my understanding is that we fast to separate ourselves from physicality, so we can do the real work at an emotional, spiritual level.
Right.
So we separate our physical need for the day. So I don't have to think about when do I schedule lunch. I need to think about how do I connect with my Creator. How do I connect and say, I'm reviewing my behavior. I'm sorry about this. I'm going to try better here. I'll try better there. I see that. When you judge me, please judge me favorably, knowing I'm doing my best. I'm just trying. Please, I'm doing my best. I'm going to try harder. And it's not just a day of judgment for us, for the Jewish people. Please bear that in mind when you speak about it. This is a day of judgment for you too, Mr. T. And it's just the Jewish people and you.
Yes.
You know, there you go.
Mr. T.
It's for everybody. Mm. This is the time when the world was energetically created. And whether you're Jewish or not, people who understand the energies of the world all talk about a renewal at this time. And this is when we are all renewed and judged and promised and given opportunity for a year of certain things which we can alter and change the way we work on ourselves and the way we develop our grace and our willingness to engage in vulnerability and apologize and to take responsibility and to give righteously and generously. And so all this energy supports us in how we move through this period. And the fast is there to not waste our time on the physicality of eating, but let us engross ourselves, Jewish or non-Jewish, whether you're fasting or not. Let us engross ourselves in the energy that is so incumbent and so powerful on that day that gives us an opportunity to renew, to begin the Carl Jungian tabula rasa, to begin again, to wipe the slate clean and start over.
Thanks, Bev. Thanks so much. Okay. Until next week. Mwah.